everybody gave their opinion. There was wide-ranging opinion, but the consensus was quite clear that the result of the election was we came third, we lost the election, there was a massive mood for change, and we're looking at that change vote now, and obviously giving the time and space to ensure that the parties of the left, that Sinn Féin, who won the popular vote, that Fianna Fáil, who got the most seats, are afforded that opportunity to try to come together to form a government.
Yeah, and your language, I think, is slightly better chosen with respect to Leo Varadkar. In his words sound more like, look, this is what you voted for. Let them batter on with it. We'll prepare for opposition. The people have spoken. If we're needed at the last ditch, we'll come in. But, you know, this is what you voted for. Batter on with it.
Yeah, I mean, look, the 2016 election was a very difficult one to figure out. It was a complex one that took us nearly, it was nearly upwards of 90 days to come up with a solution, which was an imperfect solution. I never liked the confidence and supply idea, and I think the public have given their verdict on that. And obviously, even in our own county, the change in relation to the status quo with Fianna Fáil and Fianna Fáil's general election nationally has the people didn't like that confidence and supply idea. So what we have to do now is look at the maths, number one, of this election. It's very, very clear that Sinn Féin had a very, very big election, and a lot of the Greens, a lot of the independents, a lot of the hard left independents would have got a massive bounce from the Sinn Féin transfers as well. So we do this idea of discounting a left government at this stage, I don't think that is accurate.
Yeah, but we know the maths don't add up, Joe. I mean, you're a long time in the game. You've got your background is as a maths teacher. You know the maths don't add up. And there's a bit of posturing going on here. There's a bit of manoeuvring, isn't there? There's a bit of optics, and there's a bit of sort of a PR battle going on here. You know and I know that the left on its own can't form a proper functioning government because, you know, effectively, it would be another kind of like a confidence and supply agreement.
Well, look, if you look at the maths, and, you know, I think everybody's discounting Labour because Brendan Howland said he's going to go into opposition, but who's to say that a new leader of Labour won't change that position? And if you include Labour on the left with all the independents, and I know the 13 independents, such as maybe Dennis Nocton, Sean Canney, may not fall into the hard left, but that's 87. You need 80 to form a government. And likewise, with Fianna Fáil back in the game as well. And I wouldn't discount Fianna Fáil still having a role to play in this government. They spent 4 years very, very vociferous on the opposition benches, even though they were supporting a minority government. They were very vociferous to such an extent that over 150 times they voted with Sinn Féin on many motions, many private members' business, and many different amendments. So there are two potential routes there that should still be in play. And I don't think it's good enough for the likes of Sinn Féin, who accepted victory very, very quickly, but they also accepted defeat within 4 days, saying that this is not going to work out, and that's not going to work out. So I think it has to be given time. It's a very, very complex puzzle when you look at it mathematically, but from a public point of view, they don't look at the maths, they look at the policy. Mm. And I think it has to be a serious, serious conversation where the likes of hard left independents sits down with Mary Lou, the Greens sits down with Mary Lou, and look at see where they can have common ground in terms of the platforms.
Would you have been one of those voices opposed to a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil coalition rotating Taoiseach and all the bells and whistles that would be required?
Yeah, I mean, look, the conversations that have been going on, and even with my own members and my own constituency, people are talking about the different permutations, and I mean, there's plenty of members in Fine Gael that are looking at all permutations, but the reality is that the verdict that was given was a left result, a left leaning result, with Sinn Féin getting a popular vote.
Is that fair to say that, though, Joe? I mean, is that the actual result? If you look at the way the public across the country voted, yes, there were some shifts. You could make arguments that votes for independence went towards Sinn Féin and, you know, what have you. But, I mean, you know, your party performed better than many anticipated, and I said right from the get-go that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael would do very well in this election again, because a lot of people feel okay with how things are going. strong. Fianna Fáil held up quite well as well. Is it really an honest narrative? And I'm not suggesting for a second they're being dishonest, by the way. It's just the only way I can phrase the question. To suggest that the public, in massive numbers, did vote for change and want a left-leading government. Because the opinion polls don't, after the fact, don't seem to suggest that.
Well, look, I mean, if you look at the breakdown of numbers, and without being repetitive, I mean, Fine Gael came third, and I think it was a massive verdict on Fine Gael's time in office in 4 years, where people did grow weary of, I suppose, the lack of pace of progress in terms of how they felt it, you know, how they weren't feeling it in their own pockets, be it small business, be it people who are still paying, you know, the USC and still dealing with the legacy of what happened 11 years ago. So there was an impatience. Yes, I think there was an acknowledgement on the part of a lot of people that we were making progress, that, you know, and, but even using language like we've had a budget surplus this year for the first time, we balanced the books last year.
Doesn't resonate, does it? No, it doesn't.
Doesn't resonate because people do hurt, people are hurting.
Exactly.
And I think the minority-led government, Greg, to be honest, was a big part to play in that. I think decisive governance requires a clear mandate and a clear working majority, and we didn't have that, which
was difficult. If you, you firmly believe, I believe, and others within the party believe that, you know, Sinn Féin and their policies would destroy the country, theoretically. I don't think I'm going to, I mean, I've heard those words, not necessarily from your mouth, from others. So with that in mind, and given the mandate you were given, should Fine Gael not be putting the country before the party, and regardless of what it takes, going into government to block Sinn Féin in government, if you get where I'm coming from?
Well, look, just on the economics of the Sinn Féin budget, like, it is based on assumptions. It is based on assumptions that there won't be capital flights, and that is where our concern, and certainly my concern, lies. So, look, there is a massive difference there. There's an 11 billion euro number that the Department of Finance doesn't agree that exists. And what I said even publicly at the weekend, I said for future elections we need an independent oversight in relation to budgets of all
and promises. But my point being is though, if you feel so passionately about that, should Fine Gael, rather than saying, right, okay, we're preparing for opposition, and we're going to be late going to the news, by the way, so bear with us, should Fine Gael not be saying, look, whatever it takes, let's, you know, like, and I'm not advocating it, by the way, I'm just saying that if you want to be true to those that voted for you and true to the promises Fine Gael made, you should be bending over backwards to keep Sinn Féin out, if that truly is you putting the country first.
Well, look, like, once again, people voted on this election because of the promises, and as Atisha pointed out, the extraordinary promises, and the belief system as well. For example, insurance, that because of one piece of legislation, insurance premiums are coming down. So people voted on that. People voted on the assumption that this will happen. So if people vote on a promise, it's up to the parties who made the promise and the independents who made the promise to come to the fore to say, like, here's a policy platform. I know there's an open door policy now within governments for civil servants to sit down with parties, whether it's the Greens talking to Mary Lou McDonald, to look at the figures and to see what will work and what won't work. So the important thing here now is we need time. We need time to consult. We need time to allow the parties that got the heavy mandate on the left to see, can they form a government? Mm. Can they do that on their own? Can they do it with Fianna Fáil? And obviously, when we come to the end of those conversations, whatever is faced with us in the end of that is something that we can't see now.
And the point is that I think the public are clever, and I'm not implying that you're part of a strategy, Joe, but it seems to me like this is being set up that Fine Gael will ride in on the white horse and save the day, and have that, you know, that's what people are feeling out there. And I just wonder do those that are coming up with this strategy understand that it could potentially backfire. Briefly, we're going to go, Deputy Thomas Pringle, do you believe it's achievable that a coalition of the left can be formed in reality?
Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously, a majority government of the left isn't possible because of the numbers that are there. but we have had minority governments in the past. I think going to, I heard some one commentator on the radio saying going back to 1981 or something. So that is possible, and I'm glad to hear that Joe is, and his party are going to sit back and allow that to happen. So that means that they're not going to vote against it, and when it comes up in the Dáil.
Well, that's a very fair question. Would your party abstain on a minority government of the left, Joe, do you think? Will not vote against it?
No, look, our position's quite clear. We know that if we go into opposition, we'll be doing the exact same as any other opposition party in the past has done. We'll be holding numbers to account, and certainly we won't be up
sitting on your hands effectively. Okay.
No.
But you would allow the government to be formed at least, would you? Do you think?
Well, you vote on the TC and you vote on their policy platform, and at the moment there has been absolutely no indication, even at this early stage, as to what the policy platform or programme for government is going to be, and obviously we're working in the dark in that regard.
Deputy Pringle?
Well, Joe said, and what he's been saying there all along, is that they want the people to have their say, and they want that government to be formed. And so that implies that he's actually going to vote to ensure that government is formed. And I'm glad to hear that, because certainly my intention to ensure that there's a government of the left formed.
Okay, I think that's what you want to hear, but that's not what he said, Deputy, with all due respect.
Well, no, that's actually what he said. I think if anybody listens back to what he actually he said, that is clear that's what he said, you know. So in reality, I mean, it's difficult
to be clear for the listener, Thomas, to be clear to the listener, there's a difficulty when somebody makes a serious allegation like that. What I did was to allow the left the space and the time doesn't mean that I'm voting for it, so just to be very clear.
I didn't actually vote for it.
Okay, well, I think we can agree to a disagree in this one. I read it clearly, Joe McHugh, I read clearly what you said, and I can understand Thomas Pringle trying to take that interpretation, but I think we've all been in the game too long to let that one lie as was. But who are you speaking to, Thomas Pringle? Who are you prepared to go into government with? Would you say, for instance, would you support a Fianna Fáil Sinn Féin government?
No, but that's not change.
Okay, so the government, you will talk to... Yeah, go ahead, sorry, Thomas.
Any government that contains Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael has not changed, and it's not something different, and it's not going to deliver any different for the people in Ireland, and that's what I firmly believe. And I say that that's at all times through the general election campaign and everything as well, that I would be firmly of the belief that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael do not deserve to be in government and do not represent the change that people need and people have voted for in Ireland. And that's the reality of the situation. And, you know, so my preferred option is that we would form a coalition of the left, which will be...
What number do you think realistically could be achieved in that regard?
Well, I mean, it is all up in the air at the minute. But if you look at it, there's about, in total of all the left candidates that they're in the Dáil at the moment, there's about 72, which is short of an overall majority.
Well, you only need really one or two above what Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil combined might be. Really, the 80s doesn't have to be achieved as such, does it?
No, to achieve a government, a majority government, you would have to have the 80 there. So
right, okay.
The government could actually function and do its business without worrying about what or even thinking about what the other parties would do in relation to it. You know, so that in reality isn't there, and everybody knows that. But I think that a government of the left is still doable, and I think it's something that we should be working to make sure that happens. Because what we need to do is a government that puts the people first and not puts big business and not puts inward investment first, but actually puts people first.
Well, some will say that all of that's interlinked, though, Thomas. I'm sure Joe would say that's all interlinked.
Yeah, I'm sure he would, but they didn't put the people, the people weren't at the centre of their interests at any stage when they were in government, and that was the sad reality of it. And I think that's clearly why the people voted against Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael on that basis.
Okay, finally, do you want a quick response to that, Joe McHugh?
Yeah, I think that, like, sweeping comments in Fine Gael didn't put the people first or at the centre of the deliberations. I mean, like, that's a sweeping comment, and that's a generalisation. I mean, every single day we met at Cabinet, as a parliamentary party, we were trying to figure things out, we were trying to make choices, we were trying to, with limited resources, and there's enormous challenges out there. And if anybody on the left thinks that government is an easy job, if it was easy, we'd all be at it, as somebody close to me, God rest him, used to say all the time. And it's not easy, and you have to make choices. We did make obvious mistakes in terms of communicating our message, in terms of sometimes coming across as maybe being disconnected from the public. All that type of stuff was really important. And people who voted last Saturday week did on an emotional basis as well, on a gut basis, and felt that Fine Gael wasn't representing them properly. So we'll take that head on. But to say that we didn't put the people at the centre is not good enough.
Okay.
But also it's important, just final point, Greg, for Thomas now. And it's good, look, it's important for doing all listeners to hear us and our positions and our party positions. But it's important now for the likes of Mary Lou and Pierce and Padraig to sit down with Thomas. There's 3 out of 5 TDs elected in this county, that election for change. And also, as that's not going to work, that to sit down with Charlie's party, Charlie McConnell Logan, see is there an option there? Because that it was 4 against 4 TDs in this county who had all the answers, had all the solutions to every single problem over the last 4 years, and now the people have voted for that, then they have an obligation.
Yeah. Well, you've an obligation to the equal amount of the big three effectively that voted for you, Joe, too. I mean, it sounds a little bit again like it's like, you know, well, you voted with your heart, you didn't think this through, now you're stuck with it, good luck and enjoy it.
I think it's important to point out, like, every single person who would enter vote, whether we're voting in Carrigart or Raphoe or Kelly Beggs or Malin Head, that is their vote, and that's something that okay. I respect. And
Thomas, did I hear you say sour grapes there?
Yeah, look, I mean, obviously, this period now that you get between the election and the first sitting of the Dáil, and when people actually get down to basics and start negotiating over how the government is going to reform, you're going to lead to this kind of reaction. I mean, I think the reaction from Fine Gael has been, well, I mean, it's not for me to say, but I mean, it's been a bit disingenuous, I think, you know, when you have, like, I mean, we have had former minister or current minister for the time being, Patrick O'Donovan, putting out press releases in Donegal asking me what my situation is. Like, I mean, why didn't he just pick up the phone and talk to Joe? Because Joe knew what my situation was.
Well, as you say, you know the game yourself, as well.
So, okay. You know, so, I mean, you know, doesn't even talk to his party colleague to find out how the actual things are working in Donegal or whatever. But, you know, look, the reality is that we have to sit down and we have to talk and we have to see if we can put together what I believe is doable and what I believe is possible as a left-wing government that can actually deliver for the people of Ireland. And I think that we have an obligation to do that, and that'll be taking place over the next couple of days and next couple of weeks. And I think it can come to pass, and I think it can deliver real change.